Good thing to think about.
Amen.
If you're saved, you're going to heaven.
Right.
Amen. If you're not, you're not. But I'm glad you can be saved and go to heaven. I'm thankful that that's a reality. It's a possibility, but if you're saved, it's a reality. Good to see you in God's house. I'm glad you're here. I want to help somebody this morning get closer to the Lord. That's my goal. I'm on a quest, and I've challenged you to come on this quest with me. I was thinking this past week, sure is good to see Brother North back there. Brother North, it sure is good to see you. Richard, Maureen, thank you for bringing Brother North. Good to have y'all with us today. We love Brother North, and we're so glad you're here, Brother North. Amen. Brother North's not only our friend, but he's also just a good man, and I appreciate his friendship. And I'm glad that he's strong enough to be in our service today. Amen. Amen, Brother North. Amen. Amen. I saw Brother Philip earlier. Is Brother Philip in the service? I see Alicia. Okay. I thought about Brother Philip and his family, what they're going through. So many in our church, they're just going through some difficult times. And I thought, you know, what better time to get close to the Lord than in times of difficulty? God uses suffering. God uses difficulty in our lives to draw us closer to Him. Now, difficulty, suffering, trials, Pastor David's been preaching it on Sunday nights, can either make us bitter or better. It's our choice. I pray it make us better for the glory of God. And that's what I've been talking to you about. As we were studying in Psalm 103, I got down to verse number 7, and I tell you, I just got detoured a little bit. And I want to finish up this series within a series of messages on verse number 7 today. And here's my prayer. My prayer is that somebody would get closer to God. You say, well, preacher, I'm close to God. Well, there's none of us close enough.
Amen.
Starting with me, right on down to you. We could all get a little closer. Amen?
Yeah.
Could you stand to get a little closer to God? Say amen.
Amen.
It's my prayer that somebody would get a little closer to the Lord. I want to get closer to the Lord. And I want to give you some biblical steps to do that. I was studying in Psalm 103, and we were studying it together, and I got down to verse number 7, where speaking of the Lord, he said, He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And that just intrigued me. What's the difference? Well, to Moses, he made known his ways. In other words, Moses got to know more of God. To the children of Israel, his acts, he made known his works. And so the children of Israel got to know about God. Now, it kind of sounds like the same. Well, you know, I know God or I know about God. But there's a vast difference. There's a vast difference. And so it's my goal as we turn back to Exodus chapter number 34. We looked at chapter 33, and now we're in chapter 34. And I want to close this line of messages, this thought out with you this morning. So what can we do? If you're here this morning, I'm going to make you a biblical promise. If you will follow the instruction that we have looked at, it will take each one of us closer to the Lord. Each one. You see, there are good people in the Bible that had a desire. They had a quest. Remember what David wrote in Psalm 27? He said, this one thing, not many things, I do. And he said, my desire is to be in the sanctuary, to be in the temple, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord. Not that I could see what God will do or what God does. I want to see Him. I want to know Him in a deeper way. I want to know the beauty. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now that same psalmist, David, in his life wrote this. He said, you know, I've been young. And he said, now I'm old. And he said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He said, I know some things about God. And that same psalmist wrote this in the latter years of his life, Psalm 23. He said, I know this about God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. You see, when you get that mindset, brother, things pick up in life. They do. You remember when Jesus was in Bethany there with Martha and Mary and Lazarus? Do you remember what he told Martha? She was cumbered about with much serving. You remember what Mary was doing? She was sitting at his feet. As a matter of fact, every time you find that lady, she's at the feet of Jesus in the Bible. And he said, you know, he said, I want to tell you something, Martha. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much serving. He said, Mary hath chosen that good part. There's one thing needful. She's getting to know me. She's getting not about me. She's not doing something for me. She's getting to know me. Now that's where all of us need to hone in. Are you getting to know him? Are you getting to know the Lord? Do you know more about him now than you did this time last year? Sometimes the progress and the growth is slow. Sometimes it's accelerated. So there may be somebody here this morning saying, now preacher, I want to know more about God. We're upon the Christmas season. By the way, the decorations look really nice. Thank you, Mariah, and those that helped. Sharon, I appreciate the decorations. They look really nice, and I appreciate that. Now, we're at the Christmas season. A lot of hearts will be turned toward Christ, toward the birth of Jesus, toward the spirit of giving, toward the spirit of the season. And wouldn't it be good if people, especially we who are saved, would say, you know, I want to know more about him. I want to know him more. I want to get a deeper relationship with him in whom the season's about. Is there anyone like that here today that says, you know what, preacher? I want to know God more. I want a deeper walk with God. You see, that's where it starts. Are you in Exodus chapter number 34? If you look back in chapter 33, here's where it started. Now, I believe it started way before this, but here's where it picks up. Moses just came right out and said this in Exodus 33, in verse number 13. He said, Therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Now, God did show him because here's what the psalmist David said. He said he made known his ways to Moses in Psalm 103, verse 7, and his acts to the children of Israel. He said, God, I want to see you. I want to know you in a deeper way, in a deeper sense. God, I want to get closer to you. I want to know more about your character. And you can follow this line of thinking, and here's what God responded. Look at verse number 21. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Now here's the place that all of us ought to be seeking. Amen? Are you listening to me this morning? I pray to God you are. Don't you miss this now. See, here's the process. A lot of us want to just wake up tomorrow and be a spirit-filled Christian. A lot of us just don't want to put in any work and just say, well, you know what, God, here I am, bless me, make me what I ought to be. But when Moses said, God, I want to be all that you intend me to be. I want to know more about you. I want to know more about this God that gave me this law. I want to know more about this God that spoke to me on the mount. I want to know more about this God. Show me some things. Show me you. Show me the way. God, you show me your way. I don't want to do it my way. I don't want to have just what you have. I don't want just the land. I don't want just the milk and the honey. I don't want just your protection and your provision. God, I want you. Amen. I want you. God said, okay then. Follow these steps. He said, there's a place by me. And he said, I want you to go stand upon that rock. Now, there's not a doubt in my mind this place is in Christ. Okay? It is. You say, well, what's he telling me? All of this really happened, but it was foreshadowing what God was going to do in his son, Jesus Christ. Now, here's the process. I'm just going to go through it. We've gone through it. So, listen, go with me quickly as we work up to bring this thing down to where the rubber meets the road. Okay? So how are you, how am I, how are we going to get closer to God? We all want this. If you're saved, you have a desire to get closer to God. If you don't, you're backslid. Amen. I'm not being mean. I'm just being straight. And so here's what he said I want you to do. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. The Lord said unto Moses, hew two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. Now here's the first step in verse number 2. He said, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the Mount Sinai and present thyself. Remember what we called that? Preparation. Get ready. Get ready. Preparation. I'm not going to go into great detail. I just want you to listen. If you are not making preparation, you will not get close to God. You will not get closer to God. You will not know Him in His fullest by accident. It's on purpose. Please hear me this morning. It's on purpose. The people that know what they want to know about God are purposefully seeking it. And so he said, Moses said, God, show me thy way. Show me your way. He said, okay, there's this place by me. And God passed by him. And here was the process that led up to God passing by him. When God passed by him back in chapter number 33, he saw the aftermath. He saw the glory of God. And then he said, this was the process that led to that. He said, you get up and you present yourself. Preparation. You've got to prepare. You've got a plan to meet God. Amen. Do you have a plan to meet God? Do you meet with God in His Word? Do you meet with God in the closet, in the prayer closet, in the secret place? Do you have a time where you get with God? Notice what he said in verse number three. Not only is there preparation, I hope you wrote this word down, there's isolation, and no man shall come up with thee. And we went through this. He said, listen, you get along with me, Moses. You get along with me. Brethren, we're busy. We're busy people. It's a busy world we live in. We all have things going on. But we need to get along with God. Amen? You say, well, preacher, you've already preached that. Let me ask you something. Are you practicing it? If you're not, that's why I'm preaching it again. Because I'm not going to give up on you. See, God wants you to get in that closet. God wants me in the closet. God wants me and Him to get along so He can show me some things, you see. He can show me some things. See, I don't need to see anything from God. Oh, yes, you do. Amen. Your life gets better when God shows up. Amen. And so we don't just isolate ourselves from something. We isolate ourselves for something. You say, well, it'll cost me something to get along with God. I'm busy, preacher. Listen, it'll pay you far more than it'll cost you. Amen. And so then the third step, notice it if you would there. The third step, not only is there preparation, there's isolation, there's expectation. The Bible says in verse number 4 that he took those stones with him. You know why? Because God said, I'm going to write something on those stones, and Moses believed him. And God said that if we'll get along with him and we'll make our request made known unto him, that he would hear us and he would answer us and he would do something for us. And listen, if we will follow God's word, God will do something for us too. Expect it. It grows your faith, brethren. So there's preparation. Are you doing it? I pray that you are. I pray that you are. Do you have that time when you get along with God? You say, preacher, it's hard. Well, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. It costs you something to get along with God. Listen, in order to get something valuable, many, many times you have to give something up. And then there's that expectation. Now, I want you to watch this. This is where it takes a turn. When Moses took these steps, I think a lot of us do this. We get alone and we talk to God and we expect God to reveal himself to us. And if it doesn't happen the first time or every time, we think, well, maybe it's not meant for me, preacher. Maybe God's not going to show up for me. Maybe God's not going to do what he did for Moses for me and what he done for David for me and what he's done for others. Maybe God won't do it for me, preacher. Yes, he will. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word, yes, he will. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let the devil turn you back. Hey, you keep doing what God said do, and God will honor his word. Amen. And so he got up. He went on the mount. He got along with God. He took no one with him. He took the tables of stone. And if you look here in verse number 5, the Bible says in verse number 5, the Lord descended in the cloud. God showed up. This is revelation. And I'm going to tell you, things pick up when God shows up. Amen. God revealed himself. Now, what did God reveal? Remember what Moses prayed. Lord, show me thy ways. And God said, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something, Moses. I'm going to let you get to know me in a way that you need to know me. And God will do this for you, and God will do it for me. He's done it before, and he'll continue to do it if we'll follow the word. Notice what he said. He said, the Lord descended, verse number 5 of Exodus 34, and he stood with him there. Where? Remember there? He said, there's a place by me. Are you listening? Back in chapter 33, verse 21, he said, there's a place by me. And when we get in that place, and when we follow God's word, God said, I'll reveal myself to you. And brethren, God's no respecter of persons. Please hear me this morning. God wants to show himself to you. God wants to show himself to me. God wants to manifest himself to each of us. That's what Christmas is about. Amen. Christmas is about God manifesting himself in the person of Christ. It's what we're celebrating this time of year. That God has manifested himself as the Savior of the world through Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it says here, that he stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, what did Moses find out about God? Watch it now in verse number 6. The Lord passed before him and he proclaimed the Lord God. You learning something about God, Moses? You know what that word Lord means? It's Yahweh. It means the self-existing one. It means the self-sustaining one. God is of himself. It's the great I am that I am. It's the covenant-keeping God. Amen. It's the God that keeps his word. Please hear me this morning. It's the God that keeps his word. It's the God that stands on every promise, every principle of the word of God. And he said, Moses, when you ask me to show you my way, this is my way. When I say it, I do it. Amen. When I make a promise, I keep it. And he said, not only that, but I'm merciful. He said, I want you to know this about me, Moses. I'm proclaiming myself to you. You said, show me the way I operate. God, show me the way you operate. Show me your ways. God, show me the way that you conduct yourself. Show me your character. Give me your attributes. Let me know who I'm following. Let me know who I'm serving. He says, you're serving a merciful God. Amen. You're serving a gracious God. Look at it in verse number 6. Merciful and gracious. You're serving a long-suffering God. Brethren, listen, if we stopped right here, we'd have enough to praise God on throughout all eternity. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. I thank God that he's all of these things. It's because of these things right here that I'm a child of the King, amen. It's because of these things that I stand before you, saved in his grace. That I stand before you with my sin forgiven. I've been delivered, brethren. Listen, if you have experienced God's mercy and grace, surely you know something about God's long suffering. He said, not only that, he said, I'm abundant in goodness and truth. What is God doing here? He's revealing himself to Moses. God reveals himself to his people. Is he revealing himself to you? You say, well, now, preacher, he has, but that's kind of died off some. It's not what it used to be. Are you making the preparation? Are you getting along with God in isolation? Do you have expectation? Are you asking, believing you're going to receive? Don't let your doubt stop you from praying now. Amen. Amen. What happens when God reveals some things? Notice what happens to Moses, I think the same. Now, I want to read this on, lest someone say, well, the preacher left out something. I don't want to leave nothing out. Look at verse number 7. He's not only abundant in goodness and truth in verse 6, but he's keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression. And listen, if God didn't, we'd all go to hell. We'd all be in a fix. But I'm glad that he does, aren't you? How many of you said, I've experienced God's grace, preacher? And I sure am glad that I found this way out about the Lord. Amen. He's forgiven iniquity and transgression and sin. If you'll go back, and we don't have time, when we was in Psalm 103, these three words are mentioned in Psalm 103, all of them. They all are forms and ways that sin takes its hold on man. Iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, Moses, I'm gracious, I'm good, I'm merciful, I'm long-suffering, but I'm just. And sin's going to be dealt with. And you have a choice. You can allow that your sin to be dealt with through the person of Christ, or you will pay for it yourself. You have a choice. All of us do. You say, well, I'm going to pay my own sin debt. Well, you don't have enough to do that, so I'm afraid you're going to have to suffer the consequences. But if you will trust Christ, who paid in full our sin debt on the cross, was buried and rose again from the grave, then your sin can be canceled. And you can be eternally forgiven. What follows Revelation? Preparation, right? Preparation, number one, did you get it? Number two, isolation. Number three, expectation. Number four, revelation. What's next? Adoration. You know how to worship God? You say, preacher, I want to worship God. When you're saved, we all want to worship God. If you're saved, you want to worship God. Notice what Moses did in verse number 8. Don't miss it now. Don't miss it. Verse number 8, the Bible says, he made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped. Are you worshiping God on a regular basis? You say, well, I came to church to worship. Well, you ought to bring your worship with you. Amen. Amen. Worship God at home. That's right. Get in the closet. Get along with God and worship him. So that when you walk through those doors of the church, you're walking in with thanksgiving and praise in your heart, a song in your heart. Yeah. Listen, this is God's way. This is for that person that came to church this morning saying, you know, there's something missing. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian, but yet there's a missing element. There's something not right here. This is it. You need to know more of God. You need a deeper walk with God. You need a revelation. You need God to reveal himself. And so you need to follow these steps so he can make himself real to you. We had a very interesting question in Sunday school, and I appreciate the question. Aren't all Christians spiritual? No, all Christians are not spiritual. Right? All Christians should be spiritual. In a good way. But not all Christians are spiritual. Some are carnal. And I confess to the class this morning, I'll confess it to you. I get that way sometimes. More than I want to talk to you about. That's right. And so, see, I need this. Please don't leave here saying, well, I've got a one-and-done formula where I can just get God on my life and coast on into glory. Now, you'll have to do this a few times. You've got to keep this has to be a regimen in your life. A regimen, you see. And if you stop this, God's going to seem distant. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone this morning that God seems distant in your life. And you're no longer making decisions based on God's word, but you're making them on your own understanding, knowing that the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let God direct thy paths. Acknowledge him, brethren. Acknowledge him. And when we acknowledge him, God shows up. And when God shows up, we fall down. Amen? That's exactly what happens here. And he begins to worship. Now, this is where we left off. What happens after this? I want you to watch what God does when he becomes really, really close and active in my life and in your life. I don't want you to miss this. What happens? See, if we're not careful, we'll think, well, I'm going to do this for me. I'm going to get God on my life for me. I want to feel good. I want to feel God. I want to feel spiritual. And we'll think, well, you know what? I'm going to do all of this. I'm going to make preparation, and I'm going to get along with God, and all of that's good. And listen, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I'm going to have the spirit of preparation and isolation and expectation, and God's going to reveal himself through revelation, and then there's going to be adoration. I'm going to worship, and my, it can't get any better than that, can it, preacher? Oh, yes, it can. You know what happens after this? Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, what happens here. Right after the worship, when he falls down, in verse number 9, Moses, and I'm paraphrasing here, he basically says this, now, Lord, don't forget where this started. Don't leave us to ourselves. God, don't leave us to ourselves. Take us for your inheritance, God. God, these people that you put me to work with are a stiff-necked people. What's Moses doing here? He's doing something that our society knows very little about in our day. He's interceding. This is intercession. This is Moses going to bat, so to speak. He's standing in the gap for the children of Israel. He's standing in the gap for others. See, Moses didn't do all this so he could feel good and feel better and feel good about himself. Moses did this because he knew that God had a purpose for his life, and he wanted to realize that purpose. See, if we're not careful, we'll make this thing called Christianity, we'll make it selfish. Amen. God, make me feel good. God, do this for me. And God, pour your blessing out on me. And God, fill me with your spirit so I can do this and I can do that. No, no. See, Jesus' life is about others, brethren. And I'm more like Jesus when I'm serving others than any other time in my life. And when Moses got this thing right with God, and when God got Moses in that place, God got Moses on his face, and Moses said, God, he said, please don't leave us to ourselves. God, don't leave us to ourselves. We're a stiff-necked people, and we're just bent toward destruction, and we're broken, and we need you to do something for us. Take us for thine inheritance. Amen. When's the last time we've cried out for Fellowship Baptist Church or a neighbor or a family or even our country? Please don't take this wrong what I'm getting ready to say. Donald Trump is not the answer to America. I voted for the man. I'll vote for him again. You say, well, you ought not say that. It's already been said. I voted for him. But we need somebody stronger than Donald Trump. I appreciate his political position on a few things, but what we need is Jesus, brethren. We need the power of God. You say, well, I didn't vote for him. Well, you know, I didn't vote for the guy in there before, but we had him for 4 years, so you're just going to have to deal with the next 4 years. That's all I know to tell you. It's just the way it is. But this is not about them. Please don't take that wrong now. This is not about them. I'm not talking to you about them. I'm talking to you about something far more powerful than them. I'm talking to you about a kingdom that is out of this world, brethren. We need the power of God on our lives, in our churches, on our country. We need some Christians that'll get on their face before the God of heaven and say, God, don't leave us to ourselves. What is Moses saying? He said, don't you send us in there. Go with us. Read it in verse number 9. He said, Lord, don't you send us in there. Don't you just protect us and provide for us. We don't want just the blessings of God. We want the God of the blessing. Amen. We need the power and the presence and the person of God on our lives like we've never needed it before. I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for me. Your pastor needs it. And so he said in verse number 9, he said, now if I found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. What's he saying? Don't send us, Lord. Go with us. Don't send us. Go among us. Well, I tell you, I've been to church when God was at home, and I've been to church when he wasn't. We need God among us. Amen. We need God among us. Intercession. Did you write that word down? It's a key word in Christian experience. It's praying on behalf of others. It's not making the Christian life all about you and me and what we're going to get individually. It's about understanding we're a family. We're a unit. We need God's help, and we need to pray one for another. How's your prayer list? Oh, you don't have a prayer list? How's your prayer list? You don't have a prayer list? You see, the old saints of God had a prayer list. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. If you don't have a prayer list, go home and get you one. Because there's a lot of things and a lot of folks to pray for.
That's right.
Amen. Let me show you what I mean, and then we'll move on from this and bring this to a close. Now, I want you to be honest before God now. I'm not going to try. We don't have cameras back here to take pictures. Now, we do have cameras. But we're not going to get any still shots so we can hold somebody accountable. How many of you need prayer, raise your hand. I'm going to lift both of mine. Didn't try to see every hand, you can put them down. I know the answer. That was, in a sense, a rhetorical question. We all need prayer. Well, don't you think if we need prayer, others do too? You see the importance of intercession. We need someone to stand in the gap, brethren. We need someone to stand before the Lord like Abraham did for Sodom and Gomorrah and his family Lot. You say, well, I'm just going to jump to that part, preacher. Don't do it. You won't stick to it. See, you got to find out who God is and what God does. You got to find out the ways of the Lord before you'll begin to take the needs of the people before him. And that's what Moses did. Amen. Did you write that word down? Intercession. Here's the next word. Observation. Look at verse number 11. Observe that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Observe. Observation. That word means to know and keep. And you've got to do it, Moses. Don't just do it when you feel like it. Don't just do it when there's a crisis. No, Moses, this needs to become a way of life for you. Preacher, have you got there yet? No. I haven't. I could tell you that I have and lie to you, and then God would hold me accountable for lying to you, and he'd take some power off my life. I need the power of God on my life. What I want to lie to you for? God knows my heart. But I can tell you this, I'm closer than I used to be. I'm gaining on it. How about you? You gaining on it or losing ground? Look at what he said when he said observe. Look at what he said there when he said observe in verse number 11. He said observe. He said why? He said because there's enemies. Look at verse number 12. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Be careful now, Moses. There's enemies out there that'll try to keep you from what I've just told you. They don't want you making preparation. They don't want you isolating and getting along with me. They don't want you expectation, and they don't want you to see the revelation, and they don't want you to give adoration. There's some people just don't want you to worship God. You do understand that, right? Right, church? You don't believe everybody sitting on a church chair or a church pew is for worshiping God, do you? Mm-mm. No, we live amongst people who don't want God to be worshiped. Now, please listen to me. That doesn't make them necessarily people that we fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But I tell you what we need to understand. And I don't want you to miss this. We're talking about observation and exhortation. I want to exhort you before I close and we have baptism. You have to understand that in order to do this God's way, in order to get to know more of God and more about his ways and a deeper knowledge of him, we have to follow this. But there's going to be bumps in the road. Hiccups along the way. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. There's people that's sitting in this building that's been saved for some 5, some 10, some 20, some 30, some 50 years and more. This sounds easy when I'm reading it to you and preaching it to you, or you're writing it down on a piece of paper. Amen. Sounds like, well, hey, I'll just go do that next week, preacher. Let me go on and get that started today. How's that working? There's an enemy. And he said here again in verse number 12, take heed to thyself. Now you watch it. You watch out. You'll be listening to the wrong voices. And the wrong voices will tell you, ah, you don't have to do all that. Some folks call that a dead zone. When I'm traveling down 29 and I have my phone with me, and I'm making an illegal call because you're not supposed to talk on the phone and Oh, I'm sorry. There's my wife. She tells me that almost daily. I think I could say daily and it wouldn't be lying, but just to protect myself, I'm going to say almost. You're not supposed to drive and be on the phone, you know. And I'll just say, well, I'm just making a call here, you know. And so, you know, just here, you dial the number and I'll talk. Yeah, you can't even be on the phone. I said, there's a little dead spot right there at Jack Shop Road for me. I have AT&T, and right when I get there to Jack Shop Road, it just cuts out. It just, can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians sitting in that zone. And they don't want you to get where there's full strength. They just don't. Shows them up. They don't like you coming to church saying amen. They don't want me to get down here on my face on the altar and say, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. They'd rather just be in the dead zone. I don't want to live in the dead zone. I want to communicate. Amen? I want to have a signal. I want to have a connection. I want there to be an arc between God's throne and my heart. And I believe you do too.
Amen.
So don't you let somebody come to you. Again, I bring this exhortation to you. Take heed of who you listen to. Take heed now. There's an enemy out there. He'll tell you, oh, you don't need to go to church at all. And there's a new thing called the church without walls. Well, isn't that nice? Can I tell you, God called us to assemble. Amen.
Right.
And I'm sticking with this book instead of this new stuff. I'm going to stick with the old paths. Amen. Well, that's the steps. Did you get them? Preparation. You got to set aside a time. That's a tough one. You say, oh, it's easy. Well, we're busy people. But you got to take time to be holy. Isn't that what O.A.W. Tozer said? Take time to be holy. Preparation. Isolation. Get along with God. So, well, I can do it at the office. I don't know. Now, you have work to do, phones to answer. Yeah, isolation is just good for us. It's good. Expectation. Expect God to do something. If you move toward Him, expect Him to move towards you. You say, well, can I expect that? I don't know. Let's see. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I believe we can do that on the authority of this book. You take a step toward God, draw nigh to God, and the Bible promises He'll take a step towards you. Getting closer. You can expect that. Revelation. God will reveal some things. God, listen, the Spirit of the Lord reveals some things. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians and we'll close with this verse of Scripture. Because there's somebody here, I'm going to keep going, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. There's somebody here today that said, well, you know, this preparation and isolation and expectation and revelation, adoration, intercession, observation, exhortation, all that stuff's in the Old Testament. That's Moses, preacher. What's that got to do with me? I'm on this side. Well, let's see what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 2. Go to chapter number 3, and I'll just read a couple of verses and we'll close. If you're being baptized today, when I ask you to stand up, if you would, just go to the rooms. It's been pointed out to you, and you go ahead and prepare for baptism. We have some folks that have come forward for baptism, which I commend, and it's a very special day for you. And we're happy for you that are being baptized today. Look in your Bible, if you would. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but I want you to go home and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 7. Now, when you begin reading down through here, you'll begin to read what I've just discussed with you. Exodus 33 and 34. And when you read this, Paul was saying this, and he said, listen, he said, that those folks in the old covenant, he said, they didn't really realize when Moses came back, this is a whole other word I could give you, transformation, because when Moses followed this process, you know what happened? People knew, that man's been with God. Hey, man. Brethren, you don't get along with God without other people knowing. That person's been with God, amen? You can tell. And when he came back from the mountain, when he followed God's instructions and he came back, his face was glowing. He had to veil his face. These people said, wow, This man's been with God. Can I tell you, folks know when we've been with God or not too. And people need to see that God's people have been with God. And he said, I want to remind you of this. He said, but you know, in verse number 16, you read this sometime. I'm going to skip down to verse number 16 so we can bring this to a close. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What's he saying? He's saying, well, you know, that happened to Moses. And that happened in the old covenant. But God's pulled the veil away now. And God has that place. And that place now has become a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can have that experience, that closeness, even closer, because now you have access into the very presence of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I hope you got that. Read that sometime. It's talking about what we just went through. And it said, hey, those of you in the new covenant, come on in. Get close to him. God welcomes you. Come in. And let's get close. Let's fellowship one with another. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you for your attention this morning. And being attentive, not to me as the preacher, but to the word of God, being respectful. I do pray. It is my prayer that someone got some help this morning. I have been helped through doing this study, and I hope that you have. I hope that you have determined in your heart, you know, I want to get closer to God. I want to know more of who God is and what God does. I want to know the ways of the Lord so that I can walk in those ways. Let's bow our heads together.